I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Amon, and this is your mega preview pod for this week's Zurich Classic. It's storylines, it's best bets, it's everything in between. And I'm happy to say that this episode of the First Cut is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. The two that are going to help me make every moment more are one, Patrick McDonald. Patrick, hello.
What's going on? What a introduction. What a way to go into this episode, Rick. That's why you're the best in the biz.
First off, I don't want to pat myself on the back too hard, but I got Josh reminded me of that intro while I was introing it, and I just seamlessly I'm proud of that one. Mark Immelman is here and he's sporting. Is that a new hat, Mark, or have you had that?
Yeah, no, this is new. You like it?
I love it. It is. So if those who are not watching, it is the iconic symbol of Harbortown. That is the lighthouse. And I'm a big fan of just the simple, small logo right in the middle of the hat. Perfect. A plus, Mark.
Yeah, thanks. I actually saw someone. The only reason why it was in the members pro shop, not in merchandising. And Monday morning, because ordinarily over the weekend, we're running around the place with the broadcast and such. We were out there. There were very few, we actually weren't fans allowed on the golf course. And I just saw a guy wearing this hat in white. And I said to my spotter, Craig, I'm like, okay, you drive me past the pro shop when we're done, I'll buy you one too. And we were there, walked in and out. It was perfect. I got red and he got white.
Beautiful. Yes. That is a Harbortown hat. That is not an RBC Heritage hat, right?
Correct.
That's the secret, Patrick. When you go to these events, you got to go for the club stuff, the member stuff, not necessarily the tournament stuff.
My hat was almost or is almost as good as your intro. I mean, that's how good it is.
Wow. Those are both.
They're on par. They're on par.
Top notch stuff then. No, I agree with both of those. Let me get this out of the way before we get too deep into the show. There is no one and done this week. Okay. So for all of those listening and watching, you will not be asked nor required to put in a pick or two picks for this week. Run Your Pool does not support the Zurich Classic as a team event. And Mark, I know that made you a little sad when you found that out today.
I did, because I was on a little bit of a roll. In fact, I'm looking forward to seeing the updated leaderboard. Can we get that early?
Mark, who did you have tabbed for this week? Are you willing to share that?
Yeah, I actually, I didn't know if we were using two or three, right? Two or one. In years past, I'd always used like Horschel and Sam Burns. Mm-hmm. I've used Horschel before, so I was going to use Sam Burns, but I noticed they weren't playing alongside each other. So I thought Horschel, who I've used, and oh, goodness, I'm having a Tyson Alexander was a good move. And then I also liked, I talked with him Sunday morning. So Heath and Will Zalatoris was a fantastic move together. So I was high on those two as well.
Yeah, I personally, I've been saving Russ Cochran for this one. And I don't know where I'm going to use him down the line now. And so it really throws off the entire second half of my season personally.
You know the story behind that, right?
Number 600, right?
600, but you know his caddy is Russ Cochran's son. And so it's going to be cool. They're all playing in the Pro-Am together, and then Russ is playing, and his caddy is working for Eric. So it's going to be a whole fun family escapade there.
Interesting.
There you go. I just saw that right there. There was one other thing I wanted to mention. Oh, I don't want the people to be upset with me because, Patrick, I want them to know I did lobby for everyone to just email Josh their pick, and then he would have to go 900 emails, go through each one, confirm that they haven't been used before, tally them all. For some reason, he rejected that plan, but I was pushing for it.
Yeah, Josh has kind of been slacking a little bit. I think we can all agree on this. He's tweeting photos of him playing golf. He doesn't want to take up to 900 emails and sort through them, do the percentages, do all the fun, the whole dance. So I'm sure we'll have a talk with him after this.
While we're talking about emails, Patrick, do you want to release your email address again?
No, I'm good. I get some crazy emails right now, and I'm trying to block the senders, and it's just not working on my Gmail. I get one guy from China who sends me an email probably once every 2 weeks about electromagnetic waves from his microwave trying to kill him via the U.S. government.
That sounds important. You should respond to that.
So Tony Yang, if you're out there, stop emailing me.
Well, but you know what? When you become a star, as you are, I mean, you're on the rise, you're going to get this sort of stuff. You're going to get used to it.
I appreciate the thought, the sentiment, Mark. I'd be okay with the crazy fan mail, but not the U.S. government is coming after me mail. Reserve that for someone like in CBS News, maybe, not CBS Sports.
Send it to Josh along with your one and done.
Yeah, that'll be his punishment for not sorting through 900 emails.
Mark, let's put a bow on Scottie Scheffler and his victory. Came back, played a couple of holes on Monday morning. You were out there. It ended up being a little bit of shuffling around for second place, but Scottie did not waver, and now he captures 4 victories over a 5-start stretch.
In a word, I would say he's relentless. Just by the way he plays the game, and I'm going to sort of harken back to the Masters some because it's still top of mind a little bit where, you know, when I'm there, I always try and give a nod to Bob Jones because he's my hero. And Bob Jones was thoroughly quotable, and he's made very many quotes that I still use to this day. And one of those was that in golf, you got to beat somebody, and you just have to make sure that somebody is not yourself. And to me, the way Scottie is playing is that he's absolutely mastered that skill, because if you watch the style of play, he never swings out of himself. I know the footwork's a little funky, but he's always under control. He's got magnificent control of the club face in relation to the path through contact. So it's very rare you'll see him miss on the wrong side of the target. In fact, you would have noticed that if you watched Sunday afternoon on our show, where on the par 5 15th, was playing straight into the wind, very long, and he decided to lay up and just tweaked one and missed the layup in the left water. And Dottie and Jim Nantz both were like, whoa, and they were shocked at the fact that he'd short-sighted himself. And I remember seeing the players one time where I had him on feature group where of 18 approach shots, he only missed on the weak side of the flag once. On Friday afternoon, I went to go and watch little golf there at the RBC Heritage as a fan. Now, granted, I was inside the ropes, but I didn't have a headset on and no voices in my ears and such. So I was just watching and kind of wanting to appreciate what he was doing without being disturbed. And I watched him for like 12 holes maybe, and it was virtuoso. The guy just hit the middle of the fairway every time, never missed on the weak side, made the putts he needed to. And I think the whole thing, because I talked to Ted Scott about it after, Ted Scott being his caddy, the 11th hole there is narrow. I mean, it is tight on both sides of the fairway. And both the last 3 days was playing into a quartering sort of left to right wind. Really uncomfortable for the right-hander. And he just got up there with driver both times. And we were seeing people go less than driver just to find the fairway. just tee the thing up and freaking fizz one right down the middle of the fairway. And I mean the middle of the fairway. And he hit this tee shot. And I said to my colleague, Craig, I'm like, okay, this guy's legit. And Craig's like, yeah, you think? And I was like, no, for real, because look, he's been winning, but that shot speaks to a high confidence in what he's doing. And so I asked Ted about it after, and Ted laughed. He goes, yeah, man. He goes, it's crazy. I tell this guy, it's 205 to that trash can over there. Hit the trash can. And he'll hit the trash can. And then I'll say to him, hit it right there next to that tree. And he'll hit. I mean, it's unreal, the control he has. Then you add to all of that just the presence of mind the dude has. And I don't want to say it was inevitable, but it was kind of inevitable that he was going to win.
Yeah, just a delay, Patrick. The inevitable was just delayed a little bit until Monday morning. He finished up those three holes, and we were kind of debating, I guess that was Sunday night, when we would see him next. There were some votes for Byron Nelson. There were some votes for the PGA Championship. I imagine life might play a role in when that comeback happens, but when it does, he's going to be the favorite. He's going to be the guy that everybody's staring at. Everybody's expecting to win. There is now even a higher expectation for Scottie Scheffler the rest of the year.
Yeah, and he's proven he can deal with those expectations just fine, which, I mean, to everything that Mark just said, even more impressive as well. I mean, he comes into the Masters off two wins and a runner-up. Everyone's giving him the green jacket. We have people saying he's going to run away with the tournament before it even gets going. And you know what Scottie Scheffler does? He more or less kind of runs away with the tournament on the second nine on Sunday and grabs green jacket. And then you go to RBC Heritage, only nine holes of practice, doesn't see the first nine, goes back to Dallas to celebrate for a little bit, check on Meredith, comes back, early slip up with the double bogey, brushes it off. And he's the world number one by a wide margin. A wide, wide margin. It is legitimately a championship flight consisting of one player, and that is Scottie Scheffler. And then the first flight. If you look at these leaderboards, they're fantastic leaderboards if you take away Scottie Scheffler.
Hey, I want to say this too, to your point about the championship flight. On Saturday, Saturday, I've got Scottie and Steven Yeager in a group. And we're cruising down there, and down 11, there's a little time after Scotty has found the fairway again, and Steven's behind him some. And I walk up to Steven just to catch up, and I hadn't seen him since the win down in Houston. And he goes, hey, Mark, how are you? So I'm like, man, great job. I'm so proud of you. I hadn't got to talk to you since the Houston Open. And he goes, yeah, it was cool, man. And then I look at him, I'm like, do you realize that you are the only guy that's beaten that guy in the last five tournaments or four tournaments? He goes, yeah, don't tell him because I don't want him to get mad. So basically going, all of us know how good he is right now. And you need to be luckier than a dog with two tails to somehow beat him.
Steven Yeager, the Scheffler slayer at the moment. Okay, well, that was fun. We will see Scotty soon. TBD on where that ends up. If we had a drop for breaking news, I wouldn't press it right now, but maybe we'd press surprising news because Rory McIlroy is going to rejoin the PGA Tour policy board. Mark, this is a board he just resigned from in November. I can do a little math. That's like 5 or 6 months. And here was the quote that he gave to Sky Sports last night. He said, quote, I'd rather the men's golf professional landscape survive this, so I'm happy to do my bit, end quote, which is seemingly to get this deal across the finish line.
Yeah, this came across my desk a little while ago, and I was sort of somewhat shocked too, because all of us were sort of opining that Rory was trying to clear his plate so he could focus on his own golf, right? And so I saw this, and I quickly thought about it, and I was like, smacks to me that there's something up with the LIV negotiations where it's either not going as well as what they should, or there's stuff happening that he doesn't really agree with very much. And so that's my take on it. I don't know anything. That was just me opining. But his move is odd. It's strange. But there must be something in the backwaters over there that he feels like he has to have a say-so to have some influence.
I agree with that assessment, Patrick. Either he doesn't like the way it's going because it's not going anywhere, or it's going in a direction that he does not like. And he thinks that he can, I don't know, maybe be the the vote that sways things, the voice that is needed, the, hey, let's come together guy, whatever that is, clearly something's happening where he's now back in.
Yeah. And he already had two ears in the room, one from Tiger Woods, presumably. And one, he told Todd Lewis there at Harbortown that he talks to Yasser. And you know, Yasser understands that he's not going to be a live boy, but they still talk about the golf landscape and what they want to see. So it could be a situation where Rory's kind of like the mediator, right? He's trying to bring these two guys together. And right now they might not see eye to eye on a few things, and he might be in the middle mediating it, a la Vince Vaughn, Owen Wilson, and Wedding Crashers, for all I know. But yeah, I mean, I guess Rory's always been, you've heard players talk about how your game falls off when you go onto the policy board. And when Rory was on the policy board, I'm not saying they're connected at all, his game was sick these last 2 years, right? He had that little extra juice to his game. And, you know, maybe this will be just like an added benefit somehow for Rory.
He will also join the board of PGA Tour Enterprises. That is the formerly known as NewCo, for-profit entity that is built kind of outside all of this with the investment from SSG and potentially the PIF if we get to that point. It is, of course, waiting on a vote. He has to be confirmed by the policy board, in which he just left. I imagine that will be unanimous and Rory will be officially there ASAP. The other side, Mark, LIV Golf does get back into action this week. They're playing in Adelaide. This has become their signature event, I would say. It feels different than Jeddah. Jeddah is obviously kind of a home game for them, but this is like the Phoenix Open of LIV. They try to do a big par three at the Grange. They make a spectacle out of it. And this has become their big one each year.
Yeah, it has. Well, here's the truth of it all. Like, if you had to have a LIV event in some great golf playing countries that are starved for real professional golf, Australia fits the bill. South Africa fits the bill as well. Maybe to a smaller extent, somewhere in South America, Argentina or something to that effect. But yeah, if you take a LIV event to Aussie, it's going to be a barnstormer, and the same thing in South Africa, just because they want so badly to see their heroes. Now, South Africa would love their two best players, in my opinion, are playing over here on the PGA Tour in Christian Besaidenhout and Erik van Rooyen. But with the Aussies, you've got Cam Smith and you've got Leishman and you've got a bunch of their stars over there, and bringing them back home is what the Australian fans want to see. And a while back, you know, back in the day, the Australian Open and the Australian PGA, those were big events, man. And players, big players, big names were going down there to play in them. But then with the advent of all this money, the big ones were like, no, we're taking this the summertime down there, wintertime over here off. But now with Greg bringing LIV back down there, it's a captive audience. So it would make sense. Adelaide is a massive sporting town as well. I'm surprised he doesn't have more events down there. Watch the space. I would bet that there'll be another LIV event in Australia pretty soon.
Yeah, there is probably not another country, Patrick, with a bigger chasm between how good the golf is, how crazed they are about it, and the presence of professional golf and the quality of professional golf than Australia. So this is the perfect spot to roll out something of this magnitude.
Yeah, it's a great spot, and they knocked it out of the park last year. I mean, I think it was voted the golf event of the year by a certain party out there. I'm not sure who, but it was. And I think to Mark's point, I think you got to add another one in Australia next season, or at least down the line, just based on the success of last year and presumably this year as well. Instead of, I know they got to go to Jeddah, but there's some head scratchers on their calendar still.
Okay, get this one. Let me throw this at you, because they're at the Grange, right? In Adelaide. Mm-hmm. Okay, just spitballing here. You know, with all the golf junkies out there, and if I had to throw one golf course name at you, like Royal Melbourne, yeah, you think people are going to turn around, they're going to stop and watch? If he had to somehow pull off that coup, which is difficult, that would be massive for them.
That's what I find interesting. If they could get on Royal Melbourne, that
or would Kingston Heath or any of those courses, Metropolitan around that area would be, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, some of the greatest golf in the world, for sure. So the rest of that schedule, Patrick, Singapore, Houston, Nashville, Andalusia, that's Spain, the UK, and Greenbrier. You want to make any changes to that? You want to kick out one of those for another Australian event?
I don't know if we need like West Virginia. Although, I mean, PGA Tour, Bryson shot a 58 there. Nashville is a new one. I guess we'll see how that goes. That's obviously a bit of a party town.
That's the Grove is where they're going to play that.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Houston, they did what, Tulsa last year? And I think it was okay.
They did Tulsa.
I think Houston in the middle of the summers, or in, that's the week before the PGA, I believe.
That's in, no, it's in June.
Okay. What's the one the week before the PGA? Do they have one?
No. So they're in Adelaide, then Singapore. Oh, Singapore is it ends on May 5th. The PGA is what, May? I think there's a week off in between there.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah, because the PGA is the 16th.
So they have these two tournaments and then they're done. I did not know that. I thought they were going to have one more.
If there were racehorses going back to Louisville, Kentucky, I would say they would likely run the players coming in there.
Maybe you're thinking, Patrick, Houston is the week before the U.S. Open.
That's what I was thinking. I think I would take out, well, travel, but I think Houston in the middle of the summer is kind of tough.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's not going to happen this year. Maybe it'll happen next year. One final thing, gents. We're going to give you the TGL update. Two things that we probably have not talked about on the show. One, they are abandoning the tented arena. I don't know if tent is the right word.
Bubble
might be better, where that's the structure that deflated and delayed this a year. They are actually working with, I believe it's Palm Beach College down there. They're going to build an actual small arena structure. There's been renderings for that. I think they've already broken ground on it. That's happening. And then officially, Tiger Woods' team has been announced. That, I think, just happened yesterday. Jupiter Links GC. It's Tiger. It's Max Homa. It's Tom Kim. It's Kevin Kisner. So, Mark, amongst the million other things that are going on with the world of golf, don't forget that January 2025 on Monday nights, TGL is going to be available to you.
I'd forgotten about this stuff, to be completely honest with you. And I'm looking at that team going, Tiger, you couldn't find other people? I mean, I love Kiz, but I thought he was getting into TV, wasn't he? Maybe that's what it's for. Maybe Kiz is going to be the hype guy and the banter guy that they're actually looking for in this kind of a show. Because you know, with love, boring some of them have been, because the guys don't speak as much trash with a microphone on is what you would expect. So Kiz might be the guy. Tom Kim is sort of he's some entertainment. Max can be Max. So I don't know. I've forgotten about the TGL.
I love Kevin Kisner more off the golf course than I love him on the golf course right now, but he's still finding his way, Patrick, into signature events, onto TGL teams. He's got a good Rolodex and a good agent, I think.
Yeah, agent's good.
Not about what you know, it's about who you know. We might have to talk about this introduction video that they did. It looks like a cross between a timeshare pitch, maybe an advertisement for the Villages, and the introduction of Full House, all combined into one. It was you're trying to introduce this tech-fused golf product to a younger audience, and then you roll out that snoozer. It was disappointing, but yeah, TGL, I'm not really looking forward to it. But
well, Patrick McDonald is available for creative direction as well. If you need to slide into those DMs or email him at Patrick, what's your email? No,
I can't really think of it right now.
I was going to get you a gig there. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pivot to the Zurich Classic. It's a team event. We're going to give out our best bets, and then I'm going to remind you that there is no one and done this week, but first we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. The Zurich Classic is the team event. And really, is this the only true individual stroke play event that we get now without the match play?
Yeah, I believe so. I did see, I think Sean Martin pitched on the Twitter today that maybe this should turn into some portion of a match play over the weekend, potentially.
You don't need to twist my arm.
Could be interesting.
Could be interesting, but that's not the way they're going to play it, Mark. The way that they're going to play it is 80 teams of two are going to play four ball and foursomes, best ball and alternate shot on Thursday and Friday. There will be a cut, top 33 and ties moving on to the weekend. And they will do the same on the weekend, best ball, then alternate shot. If you have the best score after all is said and done, you are crowned the Zurich Classic champions. And this is an event that we have seen the likes of Xander Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay routinely kind of dominate. We have seen other big teams show up, and now we're seeing Rory McIlroy enter for the first time.
Yeah, it's a cool event. A lot of players go down there. I don't want to say it's kind of a week off, but almost like the RBC Heritage, which was now a signature event. So you could sort of sense maybe an uptick in the intensity of the players. But last week was still kind of island time, given it was the Masters the week before. And I almost get the sense now that we're going from island time signature to now just kind of another decompressed sort of a week where you got your buddy along, you're playing some alternate shot, you're playing some best ball, kind of like playing glorified practice rounds for a lot of money at the end of the week. So it's fun, and the players love New Orleans, and they go there for a good time and nice food and good entertainment. So you can sense players' moods at events, and then you sort of get a feel for what the event is representing. And when you're down there, they're a lot freer with interviews. There's a lot more laughing and chuckling and having fun and stuff like that. So I enjoy going. I hope the weather's good. We at CBS have been snake bitten with some weather over the last few events we've done. So I'm looking forward to a nice week. And with Rory and Larry, that's going to make it more fun.
Have you guys been doing your rain dances too often? What's the problem over there?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. It's the West Coast was difficult. And then Hilton Head, you wouldn't expect to have that weather, but it was downright cold Sunday afternoon late, and certainly Monday morning. It was out of the ordinary. So it was weird. So I'm not looking forward to the heat and the humidity of New Orleans, but I'm looking forward to going off without a hitch and being on time on Sunday night.
All right. Well, we're holding thumbs, Mark, for that. A on-time Sunday finish.
No, fingers crossed, right? We hold thumbs.
Fingers crossed. Okay. I was translating for you. Nice. We're holding thumbs. And let's start with the guys at the top here, Patrick. So Josh has declared that there are four big boy teams. Here are the four that he provides. Xander and Cantlay, I agree. Mm-hmm. No problem. Rory McIlroy, Shane Lowry. Sure.
Yep.
Will Zalatoris, Sahith Theegala.
Okay.
I'll big boy team. Yeah.
Yeah.
He then goes with Tom Hoagie, Maverick McNealy. So listen, I like those guys this week, but I maybe would have thrown in twice major champion Colin Morikawa and Kurt Kitayama onto that list, but that's just me.
How much are they sponsoring this podcast now?
Okay. It better be.
That's awesome. Good for Josh. Yeah, I would concur with the top three, I would say. And look, I mean, Tommy Tables, from what I've heard, he's a big boy on the table. So maybe that's what he's getting at. McNealy's certainly a big boy in the bloodline as well. So I could see where Josh is potentially getting at this, but I think there's four. He is correct in the number, but I'm going to sub out Hoagie and McNealy. I'm going to put them on the bench. First spot right next to the head coach. Don't worry. We're in the ear. We're talking to him still. But I'm putting Morikawa and Kitayama, the Vegas boys, into the starting lineup.
I'll tell you what. the Hoagie McNeely craps syndicate could be large. McNeely providing the funds, Hoagie providing the roles on the table. That they could break Vegas, I think.
One word for you, Rick. Martingale.
Oh, I love it. what could possibly go wrong?
That's forgot the duo. Now you reminded me again.
Yeah. Mark, this is interesting. I want to kind of dive into Rory McIlroy a little bit here. He has played, I was looking into this. He has played 39 rounds, competitive rounds in 2024. That is by far the most he has ever played through April, and we're not done April yet, in his career. Previously, the highest he's ever played was 29 competitive rounds. So he's at 39 plus whatever happens this week. He's playing a ton of golf. He just committed to the Travelers. I mean, golf, baby.
Well, he's in good shape, so he can. But look, the reality of it is that he's still searching a little bit for his golf swing. I saw some promising things last week, you know, balls that didn't miss left, distance control better. Most importantly, I think like an off-speed iron shot kind of showing up a little bit more. But I would almost say that testing your golf swing at Harbortown is not the ultimate test, because if you're swinging well, you won't feel hemmed in. But if you're swinging well, you still can feel hemmed in by how narrow it is. And then if you're working on your golf swing, it'd be very hard, even if you're Rory McIlroy, to really make a free pass ever, because you got out of bounds just like a stone's throw away from the center of the fairway. So maybe going down to New Orleans with Buddy Shane, it'll be a lighter mood. There's some big wide targets down there, and he can sort of swing away and really give the golf swing the full speed test. Now, this is maybe inside baseball a lot, but he did say to us last week that, you know, with the iron game, he felt like it was getting better, but it was really only good when he had a full club in hand, or if he had a full yardage where he could get after one. Then we had to finagle something, then it was a little awry. So maybe he's now going to a place with Larry. I don't know if this was thought out, but this is just, again, me opining, where you're going to be hitting a lot of shots. The wind is sort of light and variable. It's not gusty, so there's not much fashioning of stuff unless there's weather rumbling through. Well, you tee it up, you let it go, you hit iron shots, the greens are receptive. And so it's a good measure for distance control. Am I missing left? Am I not? Can I flight the ball appropriately when I want to? And I'm not having my hand forced by swirling winds and stuff like that. So maybe this is a play to just kind of free up with Lowry a little bit and see how that goes. And then also be able to really put the full test in the golf swing under pressure.
Yeah, certainly a comfortable pairing, Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry. Even more comfortable, though, Patrick, might be the brotherhood. There's three different sets of brothers in this field. Patrick, do you know who they are?
I do.
Two of them share a name with you in some way.
Yeah, I guess that would be true with Alex and Matt.
Matty Fitzpatty. Patrick.
Mm-hmm. And then you got the Hogards.
That's right.
Obviously. And the Cooties.
And the Cooties.
And did you get the Immelmans are getting a late entry as well, huh?
I would like to see that.
I think you guys could swing it.
My game is not for public consumption.
No offense to Ted Potter Jr., but Ted Potter Jr. is in this field. I will take the Immelmans over Toasty and Ted Potter Jr.
Yeah.
Leave Toasty in the field, maybe. But
I watched that Toasty hit. He is long. I had not seen him hit one. He hits it hard, and he had a tee shot that was kind of head high, and it went 300 yards. And I was like, whoa, these kids are good.
These kids are good. And this is kind of interesting here, Patrick. So you've got Pearson and Parker, who are both, they both got, I believe, PGA status, but they're not in everything. So you see them play kind of the second tier events. Nikolai and Rasmus. Rasmus has been playing on the DP World Tour. Alex Fitzpatrick has also been playing on the DP World Tour. There is a ton of opportunity to kind of snipe this thing, get yourself a PGA Tour card, and see where you can take it.
Yeah, and Alex has been playing pretty good golf on the DP World Tour as well. And I know on the Netflix show season 2, they made it seem like they played horrible in this event last year. Like it was such a disappointment, but they still finished, what, like
T19.
There you go. So obviously comfortable, played a ton of golf together. They should be fine. Matt's playing some pretty good golf too, ever since the Players Championship. I don't think last week went too well for him, but I mean, Masters was solid. Texas was good too. And top five at the Players. So yeah. And I mean, Nikolai and Rasmus, both are studs. The Cooties, they've popped up one on the Corn Ferry Tour. So like you said, Rick, there's a lot to play for, right? I mean, Davis Riley and Nick Hardy kind of came out of nowhere in that final round last year. I think they were three back entering the final round, put together a great alternate shot day and kind of blitzed the back nine there with Riley rolling in a long one late. And I mean, look at them. They got their PGA Tour cards locked up for a couple years because of it. So like you said, there's plenty to play for.
Plenty to play for indeed, and plenty to choose from our friends over at FanDuel. We're going to get to the bets. We're not going to do one and done, but maybe we'll pick Mark's brain, and I don't know. We'll see what happens. But first, we're going to take
a leaderboard, please. Come on.
We're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Magical! Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds. Magnificent! And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Let's go! It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
And we're back. We're going to do the best bets, a segment that is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, where you can make every moment more. And gents, we're going to keep this as normal as we can, which means we take our $100 over to FanDuel. We put 50 on a matchup or a group or a three ball that we want. We do a finishing position on $30, and then we take two stabs at outrights for 10 each. And this is usually when I say, Josh, show the grid. So Josh, show the grid. There we go. Okay. Oh, that's a lot of names. Oh, there's a lot of names in this grid. Okay. Patrick, start us off with your matchup, please.
Yeah, we're going to the big three, not the basketball league run by Ice Cube.
Ice Cube.
Oh,
I think it's Ice Cube.
Yeah, it is. I think. Not Ice T.
Cold right now.
not Law and Order, Ice T, Ice Cube. I'm going with Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele, +150 over Rory McIlroy, Shane Lowry, and Sahith Theegala and Will Zalatoris.
Yeah.
I think they're just going to dominate alternate shot like they did last year and then be better in four ball where they weren't great last year. And I think they're just going to win. So with that in mind, I think they'll beat McIlroy, Lowry, Theegala, and Zalatoris.
So to be clear, that is a three ball there. Cantlay and Xander over both teams of Rory and Lowry and Sahith and Will Zalatoris. I also have a three ball. That is Matt Fitzpatrick and Alex Fitzpatrick, the Fitzpatricks, over the Canadians, Pendrith and Connors, and Taylor Montgomery and Ben Griffin. As Patrick pointed out, Alex Fitzpatrick way deserves this invite more now this year than he did last year. Last year, it was a handout and it was fine. They played well. He's up and coming. He's playing a lot better golf right now. Played in Punta Cana last week. I like the way that he's trending, and now it's not going to be as foreign to him getting a start on the PGA Tour, which is kind of something else they made a big deal out of on Full Swing. Mark, round us out with your three ball here, please.
Going numbers on this one, +180. I'm going with the buddies, Sepp Straka and Bryce Garnett. Same coach. They hang out a lot together, play practice rounds. I'm going with them over the Canadians, Nick Taylor, Adam Hadwin, and Keith Mitchell and Joel Damon. Keith's playing okay. Joel's not playing so well. The Canadians, Nick's playing great. So is Adam. But I just love the way the two rednecks are going to ham and egg a little bit. So I'm looking out for them to win me a matchup finally.
I'll kick off the Rick. I can hear you. Rick can't hear us, Mark. So no, he's going to figure it out. We'll get into the finishing positions.
Before you do that, we were glowing about that intro that he gave that was so thoroughly professional. Now the guy loses his communications. What's this all about?
Yeah, it's tough. It went straight to his head really quick. It's you can't take him anywhere, Mark. It's
you really can. Okay, yeah. Right,
why don't you tell everyone your finishing position bet?
I talked about them a little bit earlier when you were talking one and done, and I just love the Gators together. Billy Horschel's been phenomenal around this track, and he's coming off a victory. So finally, all that work he's putting into his game seems to be settling on the golf swing there. And he's playing alongside Tyson Alexander, who sort of low-key has put together a few good finishes. So I feel like with Billy, who, remember, a few years hence, hauled Scott Piercy to a win over year two when Scott was well down the rankings, Billy is that motivational sort. He's going to drag Tyson along. So I think them inside the top 20 at plus 130 is a pretty good bet.
The king of Corrales, Billy Horschel, trying to go back-to-back after the win in Dominican Republic. I am going with Taylor Moore and Matthew Neesmith for a top 20 at plus 140. This is the third time they will be paired up together. They've gone T4, T4. I love Taylor Moore. I think he's going to win a golf tournament soon. I think he's going to win a golf tournament soon. Played great at the Masters, Valspar, Houston Open, obviously. Neesmith's been but he made the cut last week in the Dominican Republic, so maybe he can get it going, keep it going for a top 20 for him.
Love Rick, that.
Do you have us?
Do you guys got me?
Yeah.
We have you.
I think my mixer just like gave up.
Wow. Amateur hours. What's up?
I unplugged it and I plugged it back in and it seems to be working.
Oh, I love when that happens.
I don't know. Where are we at here? Are we on to outrights?
We want your top 20.
Oh, okay. Mac Meissner and Austin Smotherman. Because this is an event that you get to go very, very deep down the board. And that's exactly what I've done. This is team small sample size. Meissner's played well enough on the PGA Tour, had a top 10 at the Texas Open. And then Smotherman's been bouncing around between the Korn Ferry and the PGA. Has a couple of top 10s, playing decent golf. This is the type of event where those two have a lot to play for, a lot of firepower, and they finish on the first two pages of the leaderboard. Outrights. Mark, I'm going to go to you first because you selected winners from the Zurich Classic, something that Patrick did not do, which is fine. He's allowed to do whatever he wants. He's an adult. But we're going to start with you here, Mark.
Yeah, when I saw Louis and Patrick Reed, I was like, am I missing something? Anyhow, yeah, I just you talked about just going down the field here because you can't predict stuff, especially an alternate shot. But just for the very reason that they're playing two rounds of alternate shot, and Sunday when the reckoning happens, it is the foursome format. I'm going with just two really classic groups. Obviously, Xander and Cantlay, to me, just the high watermark in the field. And then I asked Sahith Theegala about who he was playing with Saturday morning, and he goes, I'm playing with Will. And I was like, Zalatoris? He goes, yeah. And I was like, well, that's a good pairing. He goes, I think so. And I was like, yes, man. And then he is just playing so free and so well. And to me, Will seems to really be finding a bit of a groove. And so I feel like Sahith and Will might just pair off pretty well too. So give me basically favorites here.
Okay. Well, I followed you along the Will and Sahith play. So just to add a little bit more to that, since the start of 2024, Sahith's strokes gained number is the seventh best on the PGA Tour. He's been that good. Quiet little runner-up finish last week. And then I added on Josh's favorite team, Tom Hoge and Maverick McNealy. I see it, Josh. Listen, I think they're big boys too. Okay? Hoagie's a flusher. He drives it well enough. McNealy's been driving it great. He putts it beautifully. He's healthy. Any angle you want. These two have got it. Hoagie won the QBE shootout. What could be more predictive than that? Which, by the way, he won it with Sahith. So I've got both of those guys on my card. Now, Patrick, you have opted to go across a couple of ponds. I guess it depends on what direction you go in.
One large pond.
You're gonna
very
go
large. Yeah, I'm gonna go LAX layover. Check out Irwan. Get a smoothie. Oh. Fly to Australia.
That'll be $22.
I'm gonna miss a day too because of the time change. Okay. But yeah, I wanted to go with Cameron Smith, honestly, my Ripper boy. But I replied to one of their tweets, and they can't find me the hat I'm looking for, Rick. It's very disappointing.
I've been keeping an eye out for it.
He wears it in all his like pressers, everything. It's a really cool hat.
It's remind me what it looks like because you sent it to me before.
It's corduroy. It's like red. It's like kind of like a burntish red with.
Yeah, I was looking for it the other day. I bet you we could throw up the bat signal. We could throw up the Rick Rungood first cut bat signal, and I bet you we could find you one of those.
I've been asking, and no one's replying to me. It's like I've been blackballed by the league for some reason.
Ask that Chinese guy who's been emailing you about the electromagnetic waves. He can help, I'm sure.
I'll help you out if you get me this Ripper GC.
I'll tell you, we tracked down. I had a run gooder in Korea track down a CJ cup or a CJ hat, like the ones that Ben On wear, which they don't sell anywhere. And they're impossible to find. And Ben On's like not even allowed to give them away. Like all that. Resend me that picture. We'll find you one.
Okay. I mean, I'm a huge fan of conglomerates as well, Rick. So maybe I can get that if the Ripper GC one doesn't work out. I'm betting on Louis Oosthuizen again at 22-1. I think I've bet him like every week on Liv. He's playing really good golf. The finishes have been heartbreaking, just unbelievably heartbreaking for him. But going back to the well, and then Patrick Reed, 30-1, playing really good golf at Doral, played well at the Masters too. So I think it keeps it going, and I'm a sucker for Patrick Reed around like 30-1. So I'll bet on him.
Hef Sterling brings up a good point. You have such beautiful hair, Patrick. Why would you want to cover it up with a hat?
Mostly in the morning, like when I go on a walk or hit the gym, which believe it or not, I do guys. I will wear a hat.
We're going to find you that corduroy Ripper GC hat.
Corduroy, you bringing back the 70s, or what are you trying to do with that?
I'm a man of fine taste, Mark. Right?
Don't you remember as a kid? Well, maybe you didn't have it, but when your mom or your dad buy you those corduroy pants and you would walk and they'd kind of graze against each other and make a weird sound?
I had corduroy pants. I remember them vividly because I hated them.
Yeah, exactly.
I hated them.
My point.
But the hat's different.
You're not grazing it against anything. Yeah
exactly. Yeah.
All right, cool.
Now, for when inevitably these bets miss, Josh gives us an extra $50 to put on anything that we want, which is our way to try to just, you know, get back to the black. And it's worked well for Patrick, who has been piling up on favorites. And what have you done again here this week, Patrick?
Yeah, it's a tough week since Scotty Scheffler is not in the field and I can't bet on him. So I'm going with Xander Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay. I like that Mark called it the reckoning on Sunday. I think that's a great term for it. These two are so good in foursomes. They shot 15 under in alternate shot last year. They shot 63 in round two in alternate shot. That's ridiculous. They were better in that format than four ball. So you say, okay, how about you shoot a couple rounds of 60 and four ball this year? Do the same in foursomes, and you're going to be close. Come Sunday, you're going to be close coming down the stretch. So I think they give it a really good chance at 5-1.
I took Andrew Novak and Davis Thompson to finish inside the top 10 at 3.5-1. This is just like, this is a Rick Rungood team here. I love both of these guys. They're going to play well together. They're going to vibe off St. Simon's Island. They're going to rock this thing this week. They're going to finish inside the top 10, 3.5-1. And Mark, put a bow on this with a team that I love, that Josh loves, and that you seem to be interested in as well.
Well, look, they're one of the four big boy teams in the field, right? So, yeah, I got to go with Hoagie and McNealy inside the top 20 at plus 210. I want to get two wins on the board. That's my goal this week.
Okay, we're going to try to get you those two wins. Now, I want to remind everyone, and this is important, so listen up. This best. Oh, man, I screwed it up.
Rick, me and Mark were talking when you were plugging and unplugging. I mean, ever since that transition, it's like it kind of got to your head a little bit.
It's truly, I flew too close to the sun. I patted myself on the back. I injured my shoulder. I'm on the DL. I've got a lot of problems now. But I do want to remind people that this best bet segment was brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more, and I'll try to keep my plugs in their proper spots. No one and done this week, but Mark for the last 46 minutes has been begging, demanding Josh show us the leaderboard. Do we have it? Oh, I hate it.
Bye, boys. Bye, boys.
Dun, 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 nah. Nah, 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 nah. It's Mark Immelman.
Oh, shucks. You know what? Just a few short months ago, I was getting all sorts of grief from all you guys. Well, hi. Nice to be back.
This is garbage. Mark has retaken his familiar spot at the top of the board, 7.5 million. He has surpassed Josh, who has 7.1. Greg is through the $7 million mark. Patrick at 5.2, firmly in the middle, Patrick.
Mm-hmm. Totally average. Just every sense of the word. Just so average. If you take, I mean, nothing else I can really say. So average.
I have passed Kyle, which I'm happy to not be in last anymore.
Remember when he was first for a few weeks in a row and he was gloating like a Cheshire cat? Remember that, lad?
Because he knew it was going to be short-lived.
Yeah, right.
And he was going to have to just gloat now because he'll never get another chance. I'm at 3.4 million. Kyle is at 3 million. There is no one and done this week. You will not be burning a golfer and you will not be earning any money. Anything else, gents?
I don't think so. Congrats, Mark. But just yeah, now.
It's a long season, you know. We're getting into it.
2.5 million behind.
I will say this. I burned a couple guys in my ability to try and catch up with you guys a little bit that I wouldn't have done just yet. So we'll see how the rest plays out.
All right. Well, we will now commence the hat search for Patrick. And we'll see you guys Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for round-by-round recaps for this week. Producer Josh does all the hard work behind the scenes. Thank you, Josh. That is Patrick McDonald at P. McDonald CBS. Mark Immelman at Mark_Immelman. And you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.